Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy for Saturday, December 10th. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, on the second Saturday of each month. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results, and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. I know a little about that myself, as I have had 10 careers. I started out as a fashion model, then I was a rock and roll singer, a corporate consultant, an adjunct professor, and today I am a professional speaker, author, coach, blogger, and radio show host. So let's set the tone for today's program. Lou Holtz once said, ability is what you're capable of doing. Motivation determines what you do, and attitude determines how well you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Budgetpreneur.com. If you find that you have very little money to invest in your business and still need to get things done, stop putting those things off. Go to Budgetpreneur.com. They provide the resources and tools to help you manage your business, save money, and increase revenue. So visit www.budgetpreneur.com and become a member today. Let's get started. By the way, if you're listening online and call in to ask a question, please mute your computer first. The call-in number is 646-381-4198. We have a fantastic show for you today. Our topic is target management, how to understand your people have varied development skills and motivation. Simply put, target management is a how-to method that recognizes that everyone has different development skills and motivations. Target management melts all the differences down to move all the individuals to the desired result simultaneously. Our guest today for this topic is Jerry Graves, Regional Vice President Emeritus of Coca-Cola. Let me introduce him to you. Jerry M. Graves was a school teacher and a coach who became a Regional Vice President of the Southeastern USA of one of the world's best-known companies. Jerry says he owes his success to the people he worked for and with. He attributes his ability to evaluate their messages and actions to produce an environment to accept change, personal growth, and success. Jerry likes to share his experiences and mentor others while continuing his growth with business solutions. And today, he's going to share his experiences with you. Welcome, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Yvonne. I certainly appreciate that introduction. That was very nice. And I love what I do, and I enjoy working with people. And I can tell you this, that in my career, I never went to work a day in my life because I enjoyed my work so much. And the fact that success was a big part of it had a lot to do with it also, because everybody enjoys winning. When you mentioned Lou Holtz, that kind of grabbed my heart a little bit, because Lou Holtz coached football at South Carolina, and that's happened to be where I played some football. And so I learned a lot during that process. But let's talk about target management, because people ask me, why did you name your process targeted management? And I tell them that I have been asked on many occasions to take over struggling operations. And the challenge was to return the operation to a smooth operating system, number one, and also to add profit to it, because obviously if you're in business, you're in business to make a profit and grow your market share, grow your business, and grow your profitability. On more than one occasion, I have been asked to rebuild a business from within. And I would like to review with your listeners some of the processes that I used or the people that I worked with used. I will also say that there's a very important major step going in. And the important one is to recognize, number one, the history of the operation, the people within the operation, the market conditions, and where to look for opportunities. So now you're starting to get a little bit of a picture of why I say targeted management, because you aren't looking at it from the standpoint of here I come, here's what I bring, and here's what I'm going to do. You got to recognize some of the history that already exists there in order to make an operation move in the right direction. And, of course, this applies whether one is dealing with an existing business that's just going through a facelift or whether it's a takeover transformation. So if you understand the history, the people, the market conditions, and where to look for the opportunities, then you have a very good rate of success there. And I will add one caution, because some of my colleagues thought the fix could be brought about just by changing the people that were in the operation. In other words, I'll bring in my group of people and we'll be successful. But in targeted management, the idea is to develop the people in a new process, garner their knowledge and their skills, build on their relationships, and make the business stronger. And it's a quicker way of getting there. And I've got several markets that we can talk about, but my hopes are that I touch just one of your listeners to follow up with the process, and with this knowledge, I will tell you, I'm available to consult, advise, or even give group talks to help out with the process if that's necessary. And at the end of the thing, at the end of the radio show, I will give them my email address so they can contact me if they want to.
That's wonderful.
Now, let me start out by kind of giving you an example. And what I would do was whatever I learned in one market, I would take to the next market, because obviously we had time to build on it or build on the success of it. And when I say that I've turned around operations, let me give you a little background there. When I coached football, I took a losing team to a winning team. When I went to in the soft drink business, changed one market, which was about 3 million cases, then went to another market that was about 5 million cases, changed, improved, built on it, then went to a market that was about 8 million cases, did the same thing, then went to a market that was about 10 million cases, did the same thing, and then they put me in a market that was 60 million cases, and I did the same thing, and then they put me in a market that was a little over 2 million cases a year. Those are annual volumes. And every one of
them. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Did anyone ever resist the process of change?
Well, let me give you three examples here. I walk into one market and I say, these are the things that we need to do to make it work. An individual came in probably 2 weeks later, knocked on my door and said, Mr. Graves, I need to talk to you. And I said, what's that? He says, I'm not going to work as hard as you want me to work in order to get these changes done. And I got up, I shook his hand and said, thank you very much, Tim, and I wish you all the luck in the world. The only bad news is right after he left, somebody else knocked on the door and said, Mr. Graves, I'm going to resign, but I talked them out of it. No.
So I said,
could you do me a small favor and look out there and make sure there's not a line of people? The next market I went to, an individual came up to me and he said, the things that you're saying that you're going to change won't work in this market. And I got another story about that later. But when he started talking about that, I said, do me a favor. Here are some DVDs that talk about change, accepting change, the process of change, and I want you to go home and I want you to listen to them over the weekend. But do me a favor. Don't listen to them one time. Listen to them three times, and then Monday morning come back in here and sit down and tell me what you heard. Unfortunately, Monday morning he came back and said, I didn't hear anything that would change my mind. And unfortunately, he did not exist in the operation much longer after that because he wouldn't accept the change. And that was one of the operations that we were very successful in.
And, you know, that's really, really very valid, too, because a lot of times you will find that there are people that completely resist the change, just like the example you gave.
And it wasn't change that was forced on them. It was change that was gradual and persistent in the fact that we were going to do things. One of the things that we always did, Yvonne, was we broke the change down into bite-sized pieces. In other words, I didn't want you to go from not doing something to doing it 100% the next day. What I would do is give you a portion of it and say, okay, and I'll give you an example. In one of the markets, we had advertised specials and displays weren't monitored. And every time we did a promotion, we asked for displays in the store. So I asked them to monitor the displays, and they would come back, and we'd be about 25% of displays when it was supposed to be 100%. So I said, let's set up a tracking chart. All we did was set up a tracking chart, and guess what? All of a sudden, it went from about 25% to somewhere in the neighborhood of 40%, just because somebody was looking.
Exactly, exactly. Do you trust delegating to people, though, who've been through a bad process?
Say that again?
Do you trust delegating, you know, delegating to people who've been through a bad process and that you don't know very well? I mean, your example, you came in and were the change management person in a sense. You're going to implement the change. If they've been through a bad process before, do you trust them?
Well, here's what I would do. I would give them an assignment, and I would delegate to them. I did not stand over them or anything like that. I trusted the fact that they're going to get it somewhere between 70 and 80% correct. And then if you get somebody doing something that much correct and you compliment them on the correctness, you can build a gap between where they are and where they need to be. So it's under the process of catch people doing something right and improve on their performance rather than catch them doing something wrong and kind of batting them in the head a little bit. So yes, I would delegate and then use that as a teaching, instruction, and learning process.
What did you do if you ever hit a brick wall and the changes didn't work? Did you have any failures?
Well, I would never say that we had a failure. From time to time, we would hit a process that would be more difficult than others, and I think the one thing that I would always tell everybody, there's a way over the wall, there's a way around the wall, there might be a way under the wall, so we have to start. If we hit a process that's not working, then we got to think through it, and I need everybody's contribution. What do you think would be the best way to alleviate that brick wall? And so then you invite input, and input builds more of a continuity or a team by everybody having a little bit of input. Now, we may take three ideas out of that input and find our way around that resistance, but we would use as much input as we could when we hit a brick wall.
Jerry, we have a couple of people here on the call, and I'm going to open the line and see if anybody has any questions. Does anyone have a question for Jerry?
Hi, am I on there?
Yes.
Hello.
Do you have a question for Jerry?
My name is Sheila. I'm in Virginia, and I wanted to see if you would be interested in a whole new form of economy. I'm working on something where I'm bringing spirituality into global economics and combining it with unconditional love, and it's got unlimited opportunities and ways to motivate people.
We would, but today's show is focused on target management, so where I'm asking if there's any questions in that regard for Jerry.
Yes, and that's a former he's targeted on his goal. So I will leave my email address at the end of the show, and you can contact me, and we'll discuss it. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I have another question here for you, Jerry.
Okay.
What questions or directions were you given by your superiors when they brought you in to do this change?
Well, there's been a couple of interesting ones. One time we were taking over an operation that was about 60 million cases, and my superior said, pick me up at the airport, and we'll go out to dinner, and then the next morning we'll go to the operation. So we did, and we walk in the operation. He stands up and says, I want to introduce Jerry to you, and Jerry comes from another market that he's been at for 5 years. He was very successful, and he's going to tell you guys how to run this, and I will see you later because I got an airplane to catch. Bye.
Oh, my. What did you do?
I said, well, that's a nice introduction, Mr. Schimberg. And then what I did was I told the guys my process. I said, number one, I don't come in and tell you what to do day one. What I do is I come in, I do an observation period. The observation period could be anywhere from 10 days to 2 weeks. At that point in time, I'm going to be talking to everybody, asking questions of people, and finding out as much as I can about the things that I pointed out earlier. And that is the people, the market conditions, and the opportunities. And I said, once we identify those, then we know where we can go. So give me 10 days, and I said, the operation will continue. Any bumps in the road, I need to know about them, but let's continue on that path for the next 10 days. I had another operation I walked into one day. I walked in on Monday. I was not introduced, so I opened my door to the hallway so everybody could see that they had a new boss man, and I would get greetings and hellos and all this kind of stuff. Friday, my boss called and said, okay, you got there Monday. What does February sales look like? So bosses, I found, were usually very unforgiving in terms of what's going to be next. And my whole thing was, I'm in control. I know what's happening, and I will deliver I will deliver the results that you're looking for.
Smart move. How do you recognize the opportunities within the marketplace?
Well, it varies in every market. It varies in every market, but. The first thing that we would look for is, okay, do we have a position of strength or do we have a position of weakness? If we have a position of strength, that means we're outselling our competitor and we have a control of a lot of the activities in the marketplace. If we're dealing from a position of weakness, then the opportunities kind of jump in your face. Look at each one of those situations, do an evaluation, and have everybody talk to you about what they think. I find that perception and reality sometimes are not connected. So I would go in as the man from Mars that didn't know anything, that's why I would go out and do my own observations. And then when they would tell me things are great, I would know whether they were great or not. But usually you identify the opportunity by the other guy's weakness and the opportunities that are out there that you aren't taking advantage of.
Oh, that's a smart approach.
Yeah, and most businesses, there is a base for the business or basics that you need to do. And it amazes me how many times people get away from the basics of any given business.
Did you ever look at the work in terms of your own promotions or your own future?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because when I would walk in, there were several statements that I would make to the people, and one of them would be that I am here forever, because people would ask you, how long are you here for? And my comment was, I'm here forever. because when they assigned me to a place, I didn't look at it as, okay, I'm coming into this market so I can move up to the next market. I looked at it like this is my job, and if I don't fix it, I'll go out the back door, not the front door. So I looked at it from the standpoint of I got to make this market work. But I told them I'm here forever. But I also told them
I like that.
I was not.
And you also told them
I was not the person that decided how long forever was. So if I got promoted, that was that was somebody else's decision, not mine, because I made a commitment to that market and I made a commitment to those people.
Well, I kind of like your saying I'm here forever because if you're a really good manager, then actually you leave a legacy, and the legacy that you leave, it being a good legacy, that is there forever, even long after you are gone. It's like earlier you mentioned that you talked to someone whose life you had touched as a manager. You talked to him recently, and to me, when time goes by and the person can still tie back to how you influenced and helped them be successful, that's being there forever because you're forever with that person. You've changed them.
It's amazing. I put out a notice through one of my, I guess, LinkedIn, and said I'm getting ready to write a book. So if you remember any stories that would help me in writing the book, please forward them to me. And you'd be surprised how many people whose life that you touch that you don't even realize it at the moment. And I got a bunch of great ones. And then then you reflect back on the story and all the circumstances around that story and everything. And it really warms your heart that people remember stuff like that. I had a guy the other day that I asked him for something because we hadn't touched base probably in 10 years. And he said, Jerry, I'll never forget one day. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, remember, we were at a meeting, and he had a real big ego and was real important to himself and probably more important than he needed to be. And I sat him down, and I said, Chris, would you do me a favor? And he said, what's that? And I said, cover up your name. Pull out one of your business cards. Cover up your name. What do you see? And he said, I see the Coca-Cola company. And I said, good. Now, do me a favor. Cover up the heading, and what do you see? And he said, I see my name. And I said, okay, now which is more important? Are you successful because of Coca-Cola, or is Coca-Cola successful because of you? Because we got to get a little balance here between who is driving this thing. And if you're the most important, I need to know that. And he said, I understand what you're talking about. And he put a check on his ego at that point in time. So.
Oh, that was a very, very clever way of getting your point across, Jerry. Very, very clever. Do you have any other examples that you'd like to share with us?
Well, when I first walked into a market one time, I told them that these are the changes that I'm considering that we're going to make. And hands went up, and I said, okay, Bill, what is it? And he said, well, that won't work in this market. And I said, oh, okay. So, in other words, you're going to tell me some reasons that it won't work. So let me get a flip chart here. And I wrote down, that won't work, and then the people are different, and this is a different market. And, I mean, they listed 10 things why the changes that I was proposing would not work in that particular market. And I said, you know, that's very interesting, but I'm going to tell you that I have been in other markets and these changes have worked, so we're gonna try them. But I'm going to keep you list, and every time we run into, an obstacle, we'll break it out and discuss it. Well, about 3 years later, I got promoted to another market. And I walked in, and I said, okay, we're going to make certain changes. And these people said, those changes won't work in this market. And I said, oh, okay, this is a golden moment. Let me get a flip chart and capture them. So I wrote down the 10 or 12 things that they said, and when they got through, I broke out the chart I brought from another market, pinned it up on the wall, then pinned theirs up on the wall, and I said, you know what? They worked where I just left, and I brought their list. It's going to work here if you guys buy into it. And that's the whole message right there, is you got to buy into the fact that these things will work. And I'm bringing you history, I'm bringing you success, and I'm bringing you opportunity. So they tried them, and they worked.
That's great. It's a good thing you saved it from the previous one, Jerry. Now, we're getting close to the end of our time here, and so I wanted to just ask you, do you have any closing comments that you'd like to share with the listeners? And also, be sure at the end of that to let them know how they can reach you, okay?
Okay. Well, you know, there were several basic statements that I made when I went into a market, and one of them is that, you know, these unfortunately, I'm not the one that made the change, either an ownership sold out or the management changed or whatever. So I want to let everybody know, you're either with me or you're against me. And if you're against me, we're going to have a few meetings. If you're with me, God bless you, because I'm going to need all the help. And the other thing is, I don't bring all the knowledge. You guys have the knowledge. You've been living here. So I'm going to be as dependent on you as you are on me. So let's make this a partnership, and a winning partnership at that. And then what I would do in terms of targeting, I would find guys that did certain things real well, and I would find accounts that kind of complemented those things, and I would make sure that I married those up and then helped them through the process. I did everything in bite size, and it was kind of like, okay, you can't barbecue an elephant and eat the whole thing in one day, so let's barbecue pieces of it, and then we'll go eat the pieces and enjoy it. And then we built tracking tools to make everybody understood where they were on a goal. I got a great story, but I don't think I got time to tell it. Everybody that's listening, my email address is gamecock36, and that's GameCock36, 36. No spaces. I played football at South Carolina, and that is our team mascot. So gamecock36@earthlink.net. I would love to hear from you. I am ready, willing, and able to help, assist, or get out of your way.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for this very enlightening interview, Jerry. I really, really appreciate it. And thanks to all of you for listening to the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown.
Success.
I'm sorry?
I wish everybody success. Because that's when life becomes a lot more fun, when you're successful and you're the reason for the success.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I wish everybody success as well. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois, and I'll see you next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Until then, I'll leave you with this thought for the day. Coming together is a beginning. Staying together is progress. And working together is success. Henry Ford said that. Remember to always join us on the second Saturday each month. In the meantime, visit us online at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown to share your comments about today's show. While you're there, become a friend of the show and use the comment box to provide us some feedback on today's show. And be sure to contact Jerry, because Jerry really means it when he says, he's ready, willing, and able to help you to be successful. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Yvonne. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today. If you have a topic that you would like to learn more about, please send it to me at yvonne@yvonnefbrown.com. You may also use the contact page at www.yvonnefbrown.com. YvonneFBrown.com to share your comments about today's program or to ask me a question. Until next time, this is Yvonne Brown saying, each day you have the opportunity to get out there on life's playing field or sit on the sideline. It's always more rewarding to get in the game and play.